Scott Ridgway with Cobalt Mortgage, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. John, hey, I wanted to thank you and all the people at the station for making this possible. And what have you been up to here this last week?
I got in the pool.
Did you get the pool opened?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, after two bouts of mustard algae.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And the dogs are swimming?
Yeah, the dog. And drinking out of the pool, too, so.
Perfect.
It's a good thing they're fixed, or we'd have some very funny-looking offspring. But that's for another show.
Definitely. Well, hey, in Lance's absence, we've got two very special guests here today. We've got Brent Gamache with Gamache Landscaping. Brent, how are you doing?
Good morning. How are you, Scott?
Pretty good. Yeah, good. Nice day today.
Yay.
I just got back from a little fishing in Canada, so I adopted the A thing a little bit.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah,
oh,
so all our Canadian friends out there, how you doing, eh? And we've got Pat Doherty, the manager of Cascade Title, in here today to talk a little bit about Title. How are you doing, Pat?
I'm doing well, Scott. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, it's nice to have you guys here. And we'll talk a little bit about landscaping and maybe some lot line things and what people can do here in a little bit. But, Brent, why don't we start today off with landscaping, what people are doing this summer, some specials you have, and then I've got some questions for you.
Okay, great, great. Well, obviously, summer's finally here, actually. This is amazing. Yay. It took forever, didn't it?
It sure did.
That's right. But we're actually, our retail nursery down there, we're actually having a pretty special sale through July 17th, so a few days left of the nursery sale, mm-hmm. on basically a lot of the annuals and some pots and stuff like that. So we're down there 1212 Columbia Park Trail, mm-hmm. and we're open Saturday and Sunday as well.
And what number can people reach you on?
735-9100 is the main office number.
So, perfect. Because I know that we're getting a lot of questions as we're putting people into homes, and maybe it's a new construction home, and they need to get their backyard landscaping put together in the event that the builder just did the front yard landscaping. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can touch on some of the things that you find people calling you about, you know, recently here, on what do I need to do to get started, and how do I get engaged with Gamache to get that yard put in?
If a standard yard, the front yard's in, hopefully the original landscaper did some provisions to make easier installation for the backyard. So, you know, just got to call the office and we'll put you on an appointment, and one of us estimators will come out and take a look, mm-hmm. and get you a quote back usually fairly quickly. And then go from there. We just kind of look at the people's needs. If they want shade trees or a simple yard with just lawn and a few plants, or very elaborate, all the way from, you know, fences to water features, to low voltage lighting, retaining walls.
Because you guys do fountains, ponds, streams, you name
everything.
It. If they want it,
everything.
You guys can design that and put it together
for them.
That's
correct. Yep, that's correct.
Okay.
So, and of course, with the heat now, the problem we're having now, everybody is you know, those dry spots, those notorious dry spots
growing
in people's yards. And typically that's going to be obviously lack of water, obviously, but it might not be just lack of water from coverage or lack of time on the timer. Most people just start turning the time up on the timer, mm-hmm. which may start to flood out other areas just trying to get that dry spot taken care of. So mm-hmm. we do have irrigation techs, three actually in the company, that go out and do specifically that type of work and fix those problems and help the homeowners get their grass green. So
they come out and do an assessment and they say you either need to, what, fertilize or do the timers, or they'll obviously make recommendations.
That's correct, yeah.
And then is there anything specific that you do for the trees or shrubs any different than the lawns?
Well, you know, usually if the trees are in the lawn, you're kind of held to whatever the sprinklers run for the lawn covers the roots, root ball for the tree. If you have trees and shrubs outside the lawn in planter bed areas, and hopefully those are on a separate valve, so you can adjust that time on the timer to have that run a different time in the lawn, so you're not overwatering each other.
Mm-hmm. So you were talking about kind of foundationally when builders put homes in, things that are in the ground or that they're kind of pre-preparing for the add-ons later. What kind of things should people that are having homes built and landscaping designed, what kinds of things should people be thinking about to make sure that those foundational pieces are in the ground ready for you guys when you come out?
Well, as simple as making sure the timer is not the size of the front yard. I mean, if you have four stations timer mm-hmm. with four valves in the front, obviously the backyard is going to need a new timer. Probably more wires ran from the valves to the timer. So more wires, bigger timer to get ready for the backyard. Some areas in town, you've got a lot of rocky soil areas, you know, some parts of Kennewick, mm-hmm. Down by, you know, Pasco, Richland as well. So if they're really proactive, you know, even with working with the builder and the excavation guy, is to remove some of that rock and soil down, subgrade, and add 6-8 inches of topsoil, clean dirt.
Right.
So then when you come in to do the back, that foundation part is done. It's probably going to get done less typically for cost when the builder's having the guy in there ahead of time.
Right, and in some cases, maybe they can roll that into the whole purchase price of the transaction.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so correct. Underground sprinklers obviously is a huge deal, making sure that foundationally they're prepared with the proper size timer and valves.
Yep.
And the dirt and the soil preparation. Are there any other items outside of that, like extra electrical circuits or anything that people want to be planning for in different areas of their house, or hose bibs?
Hose bibs are always nice. You always see typically two, one front, one back.
Uh-huh.
If the house is bigger and the yard is bigger, you know, maybe one on each side of the house. You know, outlets are great because of people thinking about doing low voltage. You know, our electrical, our lighting transformer is usually mounted next to a plug-in on mm-hmm. the outside mm-hmm. and plugged right in. So an outlet per side of house would be, actually be nice, too.
Now, you guys also, in the wintertime, do all kinds of lighting packages and things for houses. Mm-hmm. So are there any other items that people should be thinking about along those lines, and what do you recommend?
Well, the cleanest, you know, obviously you're probably talking about holiday lighting, Christmas lights, and we do that. So, you know, in the soffits and the eaves, people will do those electrical outlets as well, which is a much cleaner application when it comes time to run all extension cords to light up the house. So,
right.
But if those aren't in, you know, the plug-ins around the house at the base, you know, work fine too, but it's definitely a cleaner application up in the eaves.
So are there any special, you know, usually they're like 15-amp circuits or things like that. Are there any differences that people want to consider depending on how holiday-y they are as far as the Griswold Christmas Griswold. Kind of program?
Clark Griswold. Well, yeah, usually it's a 15 or 20-amp circuit. I think most of them are probably 20-amp circuits today.
Okay.
So we can do LED lighting is becoming much more popular because they last a lot longer.
Right.
They're more expensive, but they last a lot longer, and they burn less wattage on your turning meter. So actually you can usually one plug-in per side can light up a house pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good, yeah.
So what other types of things do you do that you think that our listeners need to know about that they maybe don't hear about very often?
Well, basically, like landscaping, you know, in a general sense, you know, when summer hits, you know, people are on family vacations, and of course it gets hot, and they think that, you know, well, we'll just wait till fall. But a lot of stuff like groundwork, we call it getting ready for now, and if they really want to wait off on, say, doing their major plantings of trees and such, wait till fall to do that. But all the irrigation and stuff could be put in, and the grass, and the curbing or the edging, and get all the, I call it the groundwork done, so mm-hmm. one, it keeps the dust down, number two, it's going to be cooler around your house, and then if they want to wait and do that. So a lot of people just go, well, it's just too hot. You know, well, it's too hot, but the wind's still going to blow, and the dust is going to blow in your neighbor's house and your house and that kind of thing. So
yeah.
Typically we try to push them to say, let's, you know, it's no problem doing that kind of stuff now. So.
Okay. Well, Pat, is there anything from a landscaping standpoint that you want to ask Brent while we have this professional expert here in the studio that you ever hear from people along the title side or, I don't know if it's lot lines or if it's neighbors talking about fences. I don't know. You've been doing this a while, and we're going to find out a little bit about your background here after the break. But what kinds of things can you talk about with Brent of maybe situations that have come up over the years that might include title situations as they have to do with the landscaping side of things?
Well, I suppose what happens sometimes is that, you know, obviously people living next door to each other, hopefully they get along, but sometimes it's been my experience that people shouldn't live next to each other. But
yeah, this is how Lance gets listings sometimes,
well,
yeah. We end up getting listings and sales sometimes from this.
Yeah, because it always amazes me if people can live next door to each other for years and years and years, and then someone goes out and gets a survey, and there's some shrubs that are encroaching onto the neighbor's property, and sometimes that causes problems amongst the neighbors, even though it's been there for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Once there's an actual, okay, a survey was done that showed this, and oh my gosh, my world has changed now.
So there's no grandfathering clauses in this kind of stuff?
No, but I think that, and Frank could speak to this better than I could, but usually builders or landscaping or engineers, architects, anybody that gets involved with property, they normally call us and ask for a plat map.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's a subdivision where there's actual platted lots,
right,
there will be a survey map of that. Now, if it's an older subdivision, you know, the pins might have been lost somehow. Someone might have just dug them up. But a lot of those professionals that are going to be involved with those lots come in and ask us for copies of those plat maps. And then hopefully when they get out there, the corners, those pins are all those lots are still in there. and then they can be found and sold.
All right, we got a lot of banter going, so I'm going to pass my mic over to you, Pat. Brent, do you want to talk a little bit about that? I want to hear your best story of something like that that you've run into.
Probably it was actually two pins about a foot apart, but the plot map showed only one pin, so you thought it was like a little curve or a little corner or something. And so it's like, well, if you set up a fence or your sprinkler pipes, you want to make sure you're a couple feet in, but the fence is always the main issue. Is like, I want as much yard as I can get, so I'm putting outside of my post right there. And of course we chose the wrong pin, and you know, and it's one of those things. So you know, sometimes you're out in the field and the guys are of course in a hurry, and it's like, well, what do you do? And but that's probably the weirdest or funniest one. There was two pins sitting there, both new, and they're side by side, and it's like, huh.
So what do you do when that happens, Pat?
Well, you first of all hope the neighbors get along and just kind of agree to just leave it where it's at. If they don't, well, then they'll ask the fence be moved, and then, of course, at whose expense that is. So, and it happens. But most of the time, people are pretty understanding of it, and they'll say, just leave the fence where it's at. And or if they want to pursue it and go even further than that, they can record a document of record that shows that the encroachment exists, and so that any future owners of either property will be aware of it in the future.
Well, that's perfect, and that's probably why Lance does such a great job of getting these pre-listing packages from you guys, so that he can make sure that when those preliminary title reports come in, that they can be addressing all those issues up front.
Yes, and like you said, with the listing packet, there's a plat map included in that, and not that Lance or any other agent is a surveyor, but
right,
they can certainly try to eyeball it as best they can to make sure that that the fences are where they're supposed to be. And but shrubs and things grow, and so but most of the time it's not a problem. But as long as you do your homework and try to find the pins and they're not a foot apart, in that situation, you're going to be okay.
All right, perfect. Well, do you have any other questions for Brent while he's here? Is this get a maybe your favorite landscaping issue that when you've got your gloves on and you're out there working and slaving away in the yard before we let him go?
Well, no, he's probably got to get back to work. You know, he's got to go fix that fence.
It's a busy weekend. Yeah, I think he's 24/7.
He's looking for the missing pins.
Yeah, well, yes. Brent, where can people get a hold of you? And if you want to talk about the nursery here real quick on the weekend, let's get everybody getting down to Gamache Landscaping, and how can they get a hold of you?
The main office for the landscaping is 735-9100. The nursery office is 735-9101. The nursery is open 9 to 6, Monday through Friday, and 9 to 4, Saturday and Sunday. We have a website, GamacheLandscaping.com, that they can visit and look at some projects and such, or even do a contact us page for an estimate for us to come out. We'll be having, you know, more sales with heat of the summer. And then, of course, everybody always look for our fall tree sale as well. And we do everything still from the irrigation service side to maintenance and commercial and residential. We do landscape construction new and redo for commercial and residential.
I like that, redo.
Redo. redo fences on the wrong lot line. No. Everything from water features to decks to arbors to lighting to walls to paver patio. We've done the whole entire circular driveways out of those nice brick paver material and block and rock retaining walls and pretty much everything for your outdoor use. So
perfect. Well, any of you out there that have had that project that's on your to-do list and you've gotten too busy with kids' camps and vacations, get a hold of Brent at Gamache Landscaping and get those projects off that to-do list. And we've got to go to a hard break here, John, so
we'll be right back on News Talk 870 with a Tri-Cities Real Estate Update.
Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're in here with Pat Doherty of Cascade Title, and I am Scott Ridgway filling in for Lance Kenmore. He's out on, I think, vacation with the family, which is fantastic. Good for you, Lance. You certainly deserve it.
As long as he doesn't come back in a cast or anything.
Oh, he better not. No, he's going to come back probably with a suntan and a whole bunch of stories, and we'll have to get him back into the real estate program real fast. Although, you know that he's watching this on his phone while he's gone because he can't stop. He just can't turn it off.
Oh, I know.
Well, we're looking forward to having you back, Lance. But we want to talk today on the second piece here with Pat. Pat, you know what? You've been doing title. You've been in the title and escrow business for quite some time. I've known you for a very long time.
Yes.
We've had a lot of fun with Halloween decor over the years. And we can talk about that on another show, but I'm telling you, you guys, over the Halloween time, you need to go buy Cascade Title and check them out. It's awesome. But tell us a little bit, if you wouldn't mind, about yourself, your background, how you got started in the business, and then touch on Cascade Title and the background of Cascade Title.
Okay. Well, I grew up on a cattle ranch outside of Pilot Rock, Oregon, and I'm sure all your listeners know exactly where that is.
So you're a true Northwest individual.
Absolutely.
Love it.
You know, did the cow-calf operation out there, grew up there, and obviously realized that, hey, this is way too hard to work. You don't make near enough money, and so I need to do something else. And so I ended up actually in Walla Walla and was selling real estate there for a while, and in 1977, actually. And then I went to work for Walla Walla Title at that time with the idea of being transferred over to the Tri-Cities, where we opened up a title company there in 1978. And I've been with that company in one fashion or another ever since then. So. And I got a few years that I'm more than I care to count anymore.
Well, I tell you what, it's been a fantastic company, and to have that much history with one company is extremely, extremely rare these days. With the amount of applications that we take, it's very rare to see somebody that's been with a company that long.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a generation thing. People from my generation kind of tend to stay in one job a long time, or maybe two or three over a career, but I think the younger generations probably are more apt, and it sounds like you're seeing that in your apps there too. And my wife and I, we have three daughters, and two of them are still up in Washington State University, so I'm still basically poor.
But go Cougs, right?
But go Cougs. And my third daughter, she is a nurse up at Swedish Hospital in Seattle.
So fantastic.
I've got one that's somewhat financially independent.
There you go.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, tell us a little bit about Cascade Title and Escrow and kind of your role in operating those.
Okay. Well, in 1996, we bought a competing title company. At that time, they were known as Transamerica Title, or some people might know them as Transnation Title. And so we decided that we wanted to enlarge our operations here in the Tri-Cities, and so we purchased the Transamerica office in 1996 and renamed it Cascade Title and Escrow. And so, you know, we've been fortunate ever since then. The market here has been pretty good. And, you know, I still have two or three people that still work for me that we acquired along with our purchase of Transnation in 96. And I've had people that have been with me, you know, at least 10-plus years, almost the majority. Of course, we have some younger people that have started in the last couple of years. The majority of our people are very experienced.
Well, you've got a great crew over there, because I came out here in June of 94, and I remember getting title policies from you back then.
Yeah.
So it's been a ride.
Yeah, it has been. We've been very fortunate to be in the Tri-Cities and with the real estate market that we have here. And so we, you know, locally owned company, and so we kind of like to push that, and so we've been very successful, and we're very appreciative too.
Well, you guys do a great job over there, and we sure appreciate the service that we get over at Cobalt Mortgage from you guys.
Well, great. Yeah, we enjoy working with you guys.
Well, tell me a little bit about title insurance, and why do people need it? To just give them kind of a real basic explanation of what is title insurance and why is it important.
I can kind of start off with some real boring stuff here so that, you know, I'll read this and people won't understand what I mean.
That's perfect, because that's what I do with the finance side.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fantastic. We have a lot of fun with that, don't we, John?
Yes.
When we start talking numbers, everybody's eyes roll back. Yeah. But we get them into homes, darn it.
Yeah, they can't hold anything against you because they don't know what you said. No, you know.
Perfect.
We try to explain it as much as possible, but I know it can be a very confusing time for people. But title insurance, it protects against claims resulting from various defects on the property.
Mm-hmm.
A title policy will show what we call exceptions. And, for example, that could be covenants on a piece of property, or it could be easements mm-hmm. on a piece of property. Anything that's recorded mm-hmm. against the property, we're going to show what's called an exception on the title policy. So if there is ever a claim based on one of those exceptions, that claim is rejected because mm-hmm. it was made aware to the people. But if there are certain unrecorded encumbrances that can affect a person's title,
mm-hmm.
then that's where that comes into play, and they can get protection for that.
Well, you know, this is a lot of legalese, and for our listeners out there, I'm going to request that you let people know what an easement is,
okay,
and what an encroachment is,
okay,
or an encumbrance, so that they understand these words, because when they go to read their title, which is in their closing package from Cascade Title, right, they're reading through all this legalese, and some people are kind of wondering, well, what does that really mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're kind of interchangeable to a certain degree.
Uh-huh.
An easement can be considered would be an exception on our title policy.
Okay.
It could also be considered an encumbrance on the property.
Okay.
Because easements, for example, you get your power, or you get your natural gas, or whatever your utilities are, you get that through easements.
Okay.
And those easements are going, if it's in a recorded subdivision, those easements are going to show right on your map, the plat map of your property.
And that's the plat map a lot of borrowers look at to see how much room do I have, or I need to get this to my landscaping guys at Gamache so that they can put things in. And there's those little dotted lines that have easements side to side or front and back that will sometimes say utility easement right on them.
Yeah, they'll usually label what type of easement it is and the width of the easement.
Right, because they own that land, but somebody else has the ability to come in on it or something like that?
They can. Let's just say it's a utility company. They certainly have the right to go across the property and to repair or service the easement. Now, a lot of people just choose to fence in the easement itself, thinking that the chances of anyone having to come in and repair this are pretty slim, and that's usually true.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they certainly do have the right to come in and look at and repair the easements. But that easement could be considered an encumbrance on their title.
Okay.
Easements can also be, maybe you're going to give access to your neighbor so that he can get back to his property.
Like if a piece of land is kind of landlocked and they need to get across it to their... Okay.
Yes. If they need to go over your property to get there, then they would come to you and see if you could come to some sort of an agreement to record an easement.
So that by law they have access?
Exactly.
Okay.
A lot of people don't always record those documents. It's kind of a handshake or a verbal agreement, but it's really best to put it into writing and record it, because what if something happens to one of the parties, or one of the parties sells?
Sure.
And there's nowhere a record, so a new owner wouldn't know about that.
Perfect. So if you were looking to sell your home and you had questions about that, is that something that sellers could call you and say, hey, Pat, I need a little help here understanding what my property looks like? I'm getting some questions from somebody that's interested in buying my house, because there's a lot of for sale by owner people out there, and actually Lance ends up picking up a lot of those people once they realize this isn't so much fun. Is that something that they can get a hold of you, and where would they get a hold of you to be able to do something like that?
Well, and they certainly could get a hold of me at Cascade Title Company at 783 0660. And their best bet would be to call and ask for a title examiner, or they can certainly ask for me. That's great. And because sometimes what we've seen over the years is someone will, let's say they own their lot, but then they picked up another piece of another lot, but they might forget about that when they go to market it.
Right.
And then they're thinking they're just selling their lot. Mm-hmm. And the house and forgetting about the adjoining strip they bought for whatever reason. So we could help them discover those things. And a listing packet would give them the debt that shows on the property and the map and the last deed.
Okay. And anybody can order that? You don't have to be a licensed realtor to be able to do that?
No, you don't have to be. No,
okay. Good to know. Good to know. Yeah. Now, you guys also run an escrow side of the business.
Correct.
So could you explain for listeners what escrow is? And what you guys do, because I got a call the other day about somebody that was wanting to sell a boat and wanted to know if they should do that through escrow. So we don't typically see boats go through, at least from me, because we run a mortgage company.
Right.
It's usually homes. But is that something that you also see people run through escrows, or how does that work?
No, not personal property such as that. We don't handle that at all. Ours is strictly real estate,
which is real property.
Real property. It's, you know, it's houses, it's commercial properties, it's vacant land, you know, anything of a real property nature. And we have, we've got 6 escrow officers, and they've been in the business from 10 years all the way up to 30, and so we do a lot of commercial deals with that. And, you know, escrow its definition is a disinterested third party, where we're there to collect all the documents, get all the signatures, disperse all the funds, work with the lender to get all the paperwork and signed and notarized. But there has to be an agreement between both parties where they're instructing us exactly the same on what to do on the transaction.
Right.
Because occasionally something will change and a seller will want one thing and a buyer will want another. And at that point in time, we just have to say no, that you have to both be in total agreement. Then you have an escrow and then you can proceed with the closing.
Perfect. So you guys are the people that they go and sign their papers with, and then you collect the money coming in and then disperse the money going out to the appropriate parties, and then you also handle the recordation of all the legal documents to make sure that everything is recorded correctly for title purposes.
Yes. Once all the parties have signed and we've received the money from the lender, or or if it's a cash transaction. Once we have all the money, well, let's say it's a lender that's involved, which is the majority of our closings, then the lender reviews all the documents that we've had signed, and then they tell us, okay, we want you to go ahead and record the documents now. So we take the documents either to Kennewick for Benton County and record them at the auditor's office, or come over to Pasco to record at the courthouse down here at the auditor's office. And I should probably tell you, too, that it's pretty much going to be recording online here is very close.
That will help expedite the process dramatically.
Yeah. It'd be no more traveling.
Oh, that'd be nice.
And so, yeah, in fact, we can already do that now. We're still working out some of the bugs with the county as far as the payment of the excise tax.
Thus the paperless industry that we're kind of all trying to get to save the rainforest.
Exactly.
Well,
and
I know
we're
running short on time, and Pat, I certainly appreciate all the input from the title and the escrow side. We love having you on the show. We'll look forward to having you again on the show soon.
Anytime.
I need to go over the pick three for Lance very quickly. And what the pick three are 3 listings that he and his team have that are looking to be moved very quickly, priced to sell. So we're going to get into those here real quick. Number one, pick three is 1902 Silverton Court in West Richland. It's priced at $245,000. Now, these are not my descriptions, so bear with me here. These are Lance's. I'm going to put Lance on the hook. Cute and roomy, 2-story. Beautiful tile floors in this fantastic 5-bedroom, 2.5-bath home. Warm and inviting living room with a cozy fireplace. The large kitchen is open to a family room, huge bonus room, large bedrooms upstairs, quiet master bedroom, and luxurious master bath. Have fun in the above-ground pool in privacy with a fully fenced backyard. The open patio will be perfect for barbecues. You'll find this great home in West Richland. So, again, five bedrooms, 2.5 baths, two-story for $245,000 with an above-ground pool.
Yeah.
I know you're liking that, John.
Yes.
The second pick three is 4804 Candelia Court in Pasco at $269,000. It's a superb stucco rambler. This four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath home has great curb appeal. Firestone counters, gorgeous tile floors, and soaring ceilings throughout. Large open kitchen with breakfast bars lit up from under-counter lights.
Ooh.
I like that. And that's very dramatic. Oversized living room has ample windows, fantastic floor plan with a great room, and elegant dining room. Luxurious master bedroom has his and hers walk-in closets. That's pretty nice. Separate those. Lush landscaping, full vinyl fencing, fantastic covered porch, and large yard. All this in West Pasco for $269,000. Again, four bedroom, 2.5 bath.
That'll be gone soon.
I believe it will. 4804 Candelia Court. The last pick three is at 266 Adair Drive in Richland. This one is 269.5, and it's a very well-maintained two-story home with amazing views of the Yakima River. Tons of beautiful updates with this four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath home. The large kitchen has updated cabinets. Sunny dining area has slider to a covered porch. Formal sunken living room has cozy fireplace. Elegant formal dining room. Luxurious master bedroom has slider to the deck. The master bath is totally remodeled with a new tile shower, gorgeous updated hardwood floors, and a new 40-year roof put on in 2005. Park-like setting backyard. Come see this grand home in Hills West. So that's over in Richland at 266 Adair Drive for $269,500. So those are three homes that Lance's team has listed that are priced to sell. So if you want to go see these properties, you can go to kenmoreteam.com. Or you can call Lance on his phone direct at 727-8977. Again, that's 727-8977. And in the event you need to be approved for your new home, call me, Scott Ridgway, at Cobalt Mortgage, 737-6004, or visit me at my website at scottridgway.com. I think that's the end of our show, so we need to wrap it up here quickly, John.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this weekend's version of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update.
Right here on News Talk 870.